She said, "While it will be the opening of wounds that have caused me years of suffering, I will tell you as much of our objects as I think necessary to give you a full insight into our work, but first, I shall have to tell you a little of myself, though very little. For picture, see figure 6, 322. I lived in an age upon earth that was given almost entirely to sensuous enjoyments. We were divided into two classes, masters and slaves. I happened to be one of the former. How often have I seen poor, virtuous slave girls sold to the most immoral masters, and to my shame I looked on and acquiesced. We thought not of another life, and days and nights were spent in feasting. Human life is held lightly by people who live as I lived. I was strangled in a perfumed bath by one who should have been my rescuer. Plunged from sensuous pleasure into the spirit world!" Is it any wonder I stood aghast at the spectacle I beheld? How can I escape from this endless torment? I cried. Conscience no longer slumbering, but awake and powerful, sent back the answer, clear and strong, "Expiate the wrongs of your earth life." I felt that, if I must wait for happiness until this was accomplished, I was, indeed, doomed to suffer eternally! If those who dwell upon the earth plane could only realize what a blessed age they are now living in. Just think of the time gone by, when I stood an outcast in the spirit world among the lowest of spirits there. Many had been my earthly associates, but they had become so repulsive to me that I had much rather have been alone. Think how blessed it is to know that spirits can communicate with those upon earth without jeopardizing the lives of the instruments they make use of. I was compelled to wait until those I had deeply wronged entered spirit life, and then spent weary years of waiting until they had progressed far enough to give me the pardon I sued for. I found that if we are only patient, happiness will come in the end. I have not been able to forget the many, many years of misery I spent in the lower spheres. Therefore, after years of service ministering to others and realizing the value of united efforts, I organize the Band of Hope. 323. Our object is to rescue men and women from themselves. We realize that it is the environments that shape the lives of those on earth, unless acted upon by some force outside of themselves. And we are striving to become helpers to those in low conditions. And we do not find the cases most needing assistance to be altogether among the poor of earth. In fact, when you take into consideration the temptations thrown around the poor, you will find that more, in proportion, fall among the rich. 324. We have a very pitiable case on hand now. One of the band called Sympathy has charge of it. She is a beautiful society woman, and oh, if we could only induce her to attend seances such as you are interested in, how many years of suffering it would save her! She would then realize the evil of her way and pause on the very threshold of despair. She married for love, and early in her married life, she began to hold lonely vigils, waiting for him to come home. Her ears were strained to catch every sound. The rumbling of each passing carriage caused her heart to beat wildly. So long weary hours dragged themselves away, and when he did come, she felt sure it would have been better if he had not come at all. Her face grew white and careworn, and the beauty she prized faded away. Finally, her love died out, as a fire without fuel, and she was left stranded. From taking a glass of wine, to steady her shaking nerves, she is fast becoming a drunkard. Just when we feel that she is on safe ground, she slips from our grasp, and our work must begin anew. I would that the schools of the world would teach morality, which can be taught, in such a way, as not to interfere with any religious sect. The basis of all religions is the same. All are striving to better their conditions. They fall far short, in many cases, but will only learn through experience. It is sad, indeed, that few will profit by none other than personal experience. How many lives would be brighter and happier if they had applied the experiences of others to their individual case? 325. Our desire is to extend the Band of Hope so that all seeing our emblem will understand its meaning, true aspiration. And we trust that our little blue anchor will prove strong enough to anchor the largest boat on the sea of life. So saying, she left me feeling that I had been much benefited by our little talk. I hope that those who read this will ponder it well and gladly welcome the messengers of sweet hope. Signed, Dr. Reed, 327. Professor Denton came forth to view, and beckoning toward Dr. Rhea, of Los Angeles, California, who came among us, on a visit, 10 days ago, but can remain no longer, therefore leaves on an early train tomorrow, said, I have been delighted with the company and earnest, honest desire, of the gentleman, Dr. Rhea, over there, since he has been visiting here, and we are pleased to ask him to accept our thanks for the kind treatment he has given us and for the honesty of purpose manifest in his disposition toward us. We feel to somewhat regret that we have been unable to present to view all the phenomena the gentleman had been led to expect, and that was promised him before he came among us, but we are on a special line of work here, which we are anxious to get ahead with as rapidly as possible, and the endurance of the medium is limited, and conditions are not always just as we expected they would be. It should be remembered that we are not infallible, neither are we omnipotent nor omniscient, but we do put forth our best efforts to present truth to the world, and our business here is to present, not so much to individuals as to humanity at large, the evidences of continuity of life and spirit return, and to set out, in as clear light as possible, the relations of earth life to the future life, and we hope that, while the gentleman has not received all of the specific phenomena, personal to himself, that he desired, yet that he has been amply remunerated in equivalent phenomena, and that he may go his way rejoicing of the things his eyes have beheld in these seances, and that many of them have been so indelibly written in his mental aura as to ever furnish pleasing and profitable retrospection along these phenomenal lines. 328. And to all of this circle we would say that, when you reach the spiritual side of life, we can gladly exclaim, well done, good and faithful pilgrims, enter ye into the joys of a realization of the conditions necessary to felicity in the spirit world. 329. But, even of you, I might ask, do you realize what you are, how you came into personal being, the surroundings at every step of your unfoldment? Aye, do you think of all that wrought you out of fire mist and unfolded you into the beings you are? How wonderful the road you have already traveled, and still more wonderful the journey ahead. Wonderful has been your career, from the period when you were a little chap, a crying infant, down to the present moment. You ought to think, think and talk of all these wonderful things. The little child thinks, reasons, even animals think, reason, talk, if you say, by intuition still it is talk. And of all animals, that noble one, the horse, can understand, and you would do well to imitate the animal kingdom, and think, and reason, and great understanding obtain from the manifold pages of natural history as they become exhumed from the debris of the millions of ages past. Seance number 20, September 4, 1902. 330. There were present as visitors, O. C. Leavitt, D. C. Leavitt, and Mrs. Bergevin. Denton requested the circle not to meditate but to talk while spirits would be doing their heavy work. 331. Then the artist came forth to his position, took a sheet of paper and exhibited the same to the circle, until all were satisfied that the paper was entirely clear. Then in his usual manner made a portrait of a priest, which may be to head the dictation which Reed began at this seance. Immortality concluded. 4359. 332. Wesley made the longest manuscript writing ever yet produced, here, at a single effort, being near 1,400 words which are carried back to the introduction, sixth paper. Larina, 344, 333. And then came a lady form, dressed in white, and spake in whisper substantially as follows, to wit, my name is Larina. I am glad of the opportunity to be here among you, in this way. I came by request of the kind friends who are managing here, on the spirit side, and I am here to give an experience from this side of life that may be a lesson for suffering mortals to live by, during the years of their earthly pilgrimage, and may also, become a light across the way leading on and shining away the darkness that some unfortunate souls experience after passing over. 334. you mortals see around you, sometimes, what seems to you a beautiful, beautiful country, in which you would be glad to dwell perpetually. The clothing of the landscape, in green verdure, as the sun comes up north from his low winter home in the far south, and with him return the beautifully plumaged songbirds, and the soft sunshine sparkles and dances o'er the rippling waters of the brooklet, dances to music of aerial songsters. Oh, the sweet, sweet springtime! The glorious green foliage of the woodland, the sweet scented apple bloom and hum of bees and insects among the flowers, lovely land! The beautiful sunset, the nightingale, the whippoorwill, and out of the dark night the glorious sunrise and sweet morning. 335. But all of this fades away into a shadowy past as the careworn pilgrim of earth gradually awakes in spirit life to find a home there, by and by, in comparison with which the loveliest scenes of earth fade away into insignificance. But alas, to many thousands of poor souls, the journey from earth, through low conditions on the spirit side, is long, dark, wearisome. But the longest night is followed by sunrise, and the darkest clouds do, sometime, roll away, and at last, by help of blessed angels from the light beyond, the darkest soul is redeemed out of all hells, and triumphantly enters the grandeur, indescribable, of such beautiful conditions as were never dreamed of while tabernacling in the tenement of clay. 336. I was several hundred years reaching the beautiful fields of light from my feeble condition. I passed out with brain trouble, a disease called dementia. While there is no such thing as insanity, yet there are conditions, through which the mind is unable to manifest, and you call this idiocy, insanity, dementia, and various names, but you do not understand what the condition or environment really is. Teachers on earth need to know, physicians of earth need to know, but often, too often, those thought to be wise are the very last to find out. 337. Well, many thousands of these unfortunates come to this side, and some of them are the most difficult to set on the developing road, of all cases coming into the care of benevolent emissaries from higher spheres. While these are the most difficult to handle and educate, the little children that come over here are the easiest to educate. And here comes one who came here when a child many years ago. He tells me that some of you knew him. He tells me to have you ask if any of you mortals knew of one who passed from the mortal many years ago in early life, by the name of Ralph? One of the circle responded, yes. All right, he says he may give them a message before they go away, and oh, if mortal teachers would try to understand these things and practice that knowledge, countless numbers of cases might be so relieved on earth, as to pass into the life beyond so much advanced as to save them years of outer darkness in the spirit world. 338. Butler, William H., a school teacher at Louisville, Key, who for chastising a pupil, was assassinated, some 50 years ago, by an enraged brother of the pupil. William H. was brother to Noble Butler, author of Butler's Grammar. A. Before seance began, the circle were talking of polar expeditions, and this spirit replied to the toast, but was not recognized, and after his speech, the controls gave his name as Butler that was murdered for chastising a pupil, at Louisville, Key, long ago, and since. We learned more of his history from his friends yet living. B. This spirit seemed to start out in his speech boldly at first, but soon found he was not used to this method of vocalizing, so dropped down the voice to cautious movement, then slowly gained control until, at length, he did excellent vocalizing, saying substantially as follows. 339. Yes, the pole is inhabited. The people there have lived isolated all these many years, but the pole is inhabited just the same. The people of Jupiter think your world is not inhabited, the same as you think of them, but remember, many places not fit for mortals make good homes for certain kinds of spirits. To inhabitants of the spirit world, spirits are people just as they were in the physical. A. But should you finally reach the North Pole, what good would it do? What compensation would be returned to anybody for all the life and labor and treasure expended in the effort? It would not benefit the people there, nor would it benefit the people on this side of there. Some, one of the circle, commerce. B. Spirit, no, sir, you would get no commercial advantage there. Neither any speculative advantage. The absorbing spirit of reach for commerce and speculation is giving way to the question, who gets the benefits, the spoils? And when this question gets into politics, you will have widespread political changes, and even the next 12 years will witness the wild speculative spirit of the past 20 years greatly reduced toward a normal condition. There will be political upheavals and changes not only, but other changes as well. See, there will be electric and magnetic developments, and development of electromagnetic power, force, and utility, sufficient to change the whole social fabric in the near future. And as these electromagnetic developments go on, the spirit world will get in closer touch with your world. D. Do you know that it is the coming together of electricity and magnetism, in the elements, that sends the cyclone and wild tornado, bidding defiance to puny man? These elements are gathering in from space and uniting at your Earth, and while this is going on, man and spirits will learn more of these elements, and while man will utilize, to his advantage on Earth, both man and spirits will utilize them for spirit communion. You cannot yet understand these things, but their influence is being felt and research societies are becoming more numerous, and study of these elements, thereby, will lead to such understanding of them as to finally work out great social changes for the good of the human race on Earth and in spirit spheres, and these elements are coming on, closer and closer. Seance, number 21, September 7, 1902, 340. The circle at this seance consisted of house and wife, Circus, Simpson, Mrs. Lorena Cook, Ms. May Cook, Mrs. Bergvin of I. T., Mr. and Mrs. Leavitt of Arkansas. After reading the secretary's report of last seance, which was adopted by the circle, as Reed, and entering the seance room and medium and circle seated, Dr. Reed stood in cabinet door, invisible form, and greeted the circle, saying, I see you have a nice circle this evening. If we could retain this circle as it is for a series of meetings, we would be able to present you some nice phenomena. I hope that you will all endeavor to give us of your best thought and conditions this evening, and we will utilize them as best we can, and hope you will not be disappointed in results. A. Next, the spirit Professor Denton stood forth in condition of visibility and in good oral speech said, I am delighted to be present among you this evening, and the session now being duly open and the minutes of last seance having been read, the question is upon their approval, as read. If there be no objections, we find no objection whatever, on our side, and having been passed by the circle, the order is that the minutes as read of last seance be approved, and the secretary will so enter the same. B. Then the professor took up the subject of geologic and meteorologic conditions and changes and probable consequent calamities, and after referring to meteoric and earthquake disturbances of the past year, this spirit said, 341. For a number of years, prior to the last 18 months, the earth and elements have been comparatively quiet, evidently storing up a reserve for use in a war of elements. And since this war has begun and has shown some signs of getting down to business, it is probable that greater convulsions will follow in the near future. As conditions now seem to us, there is liable to be a great tidal wave from internal disturbances, from which there may be great destruction of human life and property, should the force be spent in densely populous centers, and we see that these disturbances will be felt in your country and great calamities of various kinds. We seek conditions that, unless some change occurs, which we do not yet see, will produce all these disturbances on a grand scale. The earth and elements, having the war begun, must now get down to business in order to correct themselves and return to a basis of peace. 342. A Turk followed Denton to second what Denton had just said, stepped to the trumpet and gave quite a lengthy dissertation in very loud clear utterance, but being an unknown tongue to all of the circle, it was requested that an interpreter come forth, divine to us who that spirit was and what he said, and as the Turk returned into the cabinet, one having the appearance of a woman dressed in white came out to the trumpet and in whisper, said, 343. My name is Agnes. That gentleman was a Turk, and he was sanctioning what the spirit Denton had just said about great natural disturbances that may be expected, and that if any of them should spend their force among some of the dense Asiatic populations, the calamity would be inestimable, on a human basis, and far surpassing the great Pelly disaster. But the Turk was glad to know that on the whole, the earth is changing to conditions that will produce milder and milder results, and the greatness of the calamity to people of earth will be according to the locality where the force may be expended. And then this lady spirit, Agnes, stood in the cabinet doorway appearing to be as gorgeously attired, especially as to sparkling jewelry, as any spirit woman form that ever stood before us. Sketches number 9344. And then came Reed and opened the artist's desk, took out a sheet of sketch paper and exhibited the same to the circle until all seemed satisfied that the paper was clear, then laid the paper on the sketch table, and called the artist, who came forth, and in his usual way, made a portrait as of some very handsome woman's spirit. And the guides informed us that this portrait is a likeness of Lorena, and a half-tone copy of this sketch is set in at paragraph 332.1, heading the experience of this spirit. 345. Jose A., a Roman Catholic priest, dictates his experience to Dr. Reed, as his amanuensis, in these words, to wit, I am told that my history may be of great benefit to the people of earth. If it were not for this, no inducement, however great, would cause me to traverse the pain-racked road again. With purgatory in the dim distance I tremble when I think of the horrors my superstitious soul has passed through. 346. I went to America in company with several of my order. We intended to extend a chain of missions across the southern part of the country. I am told that a few of the ruins are still standing. There are those upon earth and in spirit who think the life of a priest is a happy one. They think he is the worst of all hypocrites, that only lies fall from his lips. That is true of some, just as it is true of people in every walk of life, but you will find, my friends, that while many are mistaken, they are honest and earnest. 347. We undertook a task that was calculated to make the strongest hearts quail, namely, the subjection of a wild and savage people without the use of firearms. The service of the Catholic Church is so spectacular, when all accessories of worship are to be had, that it is no wonder it causes a feeling of awe among our savage brothers. We had no accessories for months, however. Our only accessories were our rosaries and small Bibles or catechisms that we carried. Tramping over hot sands in our coarse robes, our faces sunburned and covered with alkali dust, our tongues parched for water, we were not an inspiring sight for the strolling Indian. I was not captured by them. They were, at all times, good and kind to me. I saved the child of a chief from death, and the small token he gave me, whenever shown to other Indians, always secured me a night's lodging. After months, yes, years of hard labor, we passed from one mission to another. These must be built for fort as well as chapel, therefore must be built substantially. Continued and concluded at Seance 21-348. A priest is only human and I was too human for earthly happiness. I would sit in the quiet after Vespers and try to communicate with God, but my thoughts would persist in wandering back to the home of my childhood, and sometimes, it would seem that heaven could not be a finer sight than the hut with its vine twining around the low door that sheltered my parents. I would come to myself with a start, then would follow hours of prayer and days of fasting to bring my worldly soul into subjection. I was perishing for an affectionate word or caress from someone, and for lack of a human being to bestow it on, I lavished it upon the donkey that carried my burden of stone. This was noticed by our rabbit, who was a cold, stern man, and my donkey, innocent brute, was taken from me and given to another who was less tender-hearted. I was bade to carry the stones myself as a penance. The quarry was some distance from the mission, and the journey occupied all the hours of daylight. 349. While suffering in both mind and body, I had the misfortune to fall in love. Oh, the horror of it! Me, a holy man of God, to so debase himself as to love an earthly being. She was an Indian maiden, but fair for the eyes to see. It was then that the evil one himself walked by my side, all day long visions of a happy home with bright-eyed children about my knees danced before my eyes until I felt that I must flee from this terrible temptation. My nights were spent in prayer. Oh, long, terrible hours I spent in my dreams, having all the enemies of hell in company with Satan. 350. Believing that confession was the only remedy, I went to our abbot and confessed my sins to him. What do you think my penance was? To wear about my waist a belt of cactus thorns, which are worse than needles, for they not only work into the flesh but poison it, and limit myself to one meal a day, and in addition to this, I must carry a bag of sand to be replaced by the heavy stone at the other end of my journey. I could not sleep at night for torture, and without sufficient food, I was therefore, soon unable to do my share of work. I did not rebel against the decree of our abbot as I felt that I must do penance for unholy thoughts. Oh! If I had only known what I do now, and if hundreds upon earth would accept this as a true history, how many days and years of torture, far more horrible than the fires of hell, would they escape? 351. I had spoken no word of love to her I worshipped, but so subtle is the power of love that she knew of it and returned it. And with true womanliness she pleaded with me to go away with her, assuring me that the Great Spirit looked on and was glad. That he wanted his children to be happy. Untutored savage that she was far wiser than I. 352. Her pleadings were overheard by another, and I was called before a tribunal and sentenced to a flogging. My worn-out, tortured body could not bear the strain and I regained consciousness in another life, surrounded by green grass and trees. Is not green the promise of a new life? Instead of miles of sand and cactus, my love had stolen me and borne me away, was the unholy thought that first entered my mind. It was sweet to lie there, to feel no pain. 353. While I wondered why my love came not back to home, in her stead came one of my old order, higher in authority than I. He bade me arise and follow him. As I attempted to do so, a beautiful angel stood before me, and I remember, even now, that the first thing I noticed was that he was without wings. Truly, I thought, I shall never be anything but worldly. He spoke to me thus, "Go not with this evil one, my brother. Let not the charms of superstition bear you down in the spirit world as they did upon earth. Resist him and follow me and find peace and happiness." But I was too thoroughly disciplined to disobey and I rose and followed the one in the black robe. Break the charms of superstition on earth if you would not have them bear you down the dark depths in the spirit world. It is a world of reality to those who dwell there, and many out of the earthly body it is well nigh impossible to convince that they are in the world of spirit. 354. To go back to my first habitation in the spirit world, it resembled the monasteries of the old world and which I thought it was. For my sins, I was cast into a dark dungeon. It did not matter much as the light without was dim as in a heavy fog, and a strange peculiar light seemed to radiate from my body, that illuminated the room sufficiently, for all ordinary purposes. I don't know how long I remained in this condition, but it must have been for years. Once, while I was repeating prayer, my loved one stood before me and beckoned for me to follow her, and after all these years of penance and suffering, all the old love came surging back to my willful heart. Nay, it had never left, but had been relegated to the background. "I cannot, my darling, can you not see the bars?" I cried. She still beckoned, and before I knew it I was on the outside. My old tormentor returned and ordered me back to my cell. But love was stronger than the sense of duty and I followed her I so truly loved. 355. "What shall I do?" I cried, when I found that we were, seemingly, free from the monastery. "They will follow us and compel me to return and may wreak vengeance upon you." "We are in the land of the Great Spirit," she replied, "and you need not return unless you desire to. You, beloved, are without the earthly body, as I am, and we can live in happiness without being disturbed by the so-called holy ones." 356. If the people of earth would do away with the celibacy life of the priests, Catholicism would soon decay. My love and I have been the means of helping untold numbers to break the chains that bind them in the spirit world. We have formed a powerful band whose object is to break those chains upon earth. A happy home upon earth is a counterpart of heaven. How many men and women upon earth who have dedicated their lives to the Catholic Church would be the founders of happy homes if they would only listen to the God within them that pleads for true love.